Please arise for the reading of the sermon text. The word of God that we consider this morning for our faith life is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 59 to 69. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, who feeds our souls unto life everlasting, dear fellow redeemed. It was about 2 years into Jesus' 3-year ministry that a major defection took place of those who considered themselves to be disciples of Christ. Up to this point, Jesus had spent most of his time seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the northern region of Galilee. And he had sent out his disciples to do mission work among them. As this critical kingdom work progressed, Jesus' popularity grew in leaps and bounds. There were literally thousands upon thousands of people flocking after Jesus to hear his mighty messages and watch his mighty deeds. The number of those who regard themselves as disciples of Christ grew immensely. The popularity reached its height in Galilee when 5,000 people, 5,000 Jews, crossed the Sea of Galilee, and it was there that Jesus miraculously fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. While there were large numbers who initially viewed themselves as disciples of Christ, a large percentage of them stopped following him because they were offended by some of his teachings, and therefore they did not accept what he had to say or him. When we read of the huge, enthusiastic crowds, we might think, Jesus and his message of grace and peace was being well received. But this was not at all the case. After the feeding of the 5,000, there were many among them who wanted to make him into their bread king, who would put them on economic and political easy street. In response to those thousands who followed Jesus to Capernaum after the miraculous feeding, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." They were more concerned about feeding their bellies than they were to feed upon Jesus' spiritual word of life and salvation. They were also more interested in trying to reestablish that physical, earthly kingdom of Israel than they were Jesus establishing his everlasting kingdom of believers. May God help us from falling prey to the spiritual danger of being so concerned about promoting political and economic agendas that we end up compromising our beliefs. For example, not being willing to stand up and defend the unborn baby's lives. Or speaking out that God's institution of marriage is between a man and a woman. Of the many Jews who declared an allegiance to Jesus, the Lord knew from the very beginning who among them that were really not following him for the right reason. But that didn't mean he stopped talking to them, trying to help them, reach out to them. And he delivered to them this wonderful, beautiful sermon that we could title, Jesus, the Bread of Life. With this sermon, Jesus was hoping he could make these people true and genuine disciples of Christ. Using picture language, Jesus depicted himself as the spiritual bread of life. In the sermon, he conveyed the following truths. He was the eternal Son of God, come from heaven. He assumed human form so that he could lay down his life on the cross for our forgiveness and salvation. That he's a spiritual food for the soul, that if you feed on him, believe in him, you will be spiritually nourished unto life everlasting. And those who did would be blessed of that, with that very thing. When many of the so-called disciples heard these things, they complained about them, saying, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Because of their biases about Jesus and their biases about themselves, they found Jesus' teachings too much to swallow. Therefore, they weren't willing to accept them. While they were willing to accept Jesus as a prophet, they were not ready to accept him as the eternal Son of God come down from heaven. They said of him, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" They also found it offensive, Jesus' teachings, that his sacrificial flesh and blood gives eternal life. And in order for them to be united together with God, they would need to feed on him. In other words, they would need to believe in him as their Lord and Savior. These Jews didn't see the need for a Savior. After all, they're the chosen people of God who have descended from the patriarch Abraham, who was referred to as being the father of all believers. This would be something like children thinking that they have a ticket to heaven because their parents are Christians. Well, the children don't believe what their parents believe. We find similar responses to God's word in our day by folks who espouse being Christians. Being governed by their sin-darkened mind, there are those who are not willing to accept the belief that the Bible, in all its words, in all its parts, are the inspired, inerrant word of God. And they end up rejecting certain fundamental truths that are found in the Bible. People are offended by the teaching that the triune God, he alone, is God. And that Jesus is not only true man, but he's also true God. And that it's only through Jesus' redemptive work that a person has any confidence of knowing they're going to be saved and go to heaven. And folks are also offended when they're told they're not children of God if they've refused to renounce their worldly living and immoral lifestyles. Although these people believe themselves to be Christians, yet by rejecting these saving truths of God, they've cut themselves off from God. And they've rejected him just like the people in Jesus' day. The massive defection of disciples on that day was a very sad day. It was sad for Jesus. It was sad for the faithful followers of Christ because those who were offended by the words of God and stopped following Jesus, they were cutting themselves off from God and their only hope of heaven. Now, while there was cause for sadness that day, there was cause for joy. Because there were those who were not offended by Jesus and did not reject him and stop following after him. Jesus turned to the 12 and said to them, "Do you also want to go away?" In response, Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." For the apostles, there was no question in their minds that they would follow the others by leaving and forsaking Jesus. They'd come to know in their minds and believed in their hearts that there was no one else that they could turn to find life, hope, and salvation. They declared this with all confidence because they beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As such, the apostles knew that whatever Jesus revealed to them, it was absolute truth. And that his words and teachings is what sinners need, like you and me, to have everlasting life in heaven. Now, the fact that believers like the apostles attained such a religious conviction concerning Jesus and his teachings and the others rejected him doesn't mean that such folks are mentally superior. Not at all. Jesus said in his Bread of Life sermon, "No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." We're not the ones who decided to draw near to God. God is the one who enabled us to be drawn near to him. It's not by our human reasoning or our personal decision that we came to believe in Jesus. Instead, it's the Lord who gives us understanding and he gives us faith to believe. The only power we have is to reject God and to reject his teachings. We do not possess the mental capacity or the spiritual will to decide to believe in Jesus. Jesus alludes to this when he says, "The Spirit profits nothing." Because the unconverted possess fleshly minds, they don't possess spiritual strength or the spiritual will to decide to believe in Jesus. Jesus says the flesh profits nothing. In his explanation to the third article, where Martin Luther talks about conversion, he says in his small catechism, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reasoning or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. It's the word of Christ that enables us to have spiritual insight, faith, and life. For through that word, the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. He gives us will to accept Jesus and his words and teachings. His words are spirit and their life. It is the Spirit of God working through the Word of God that gives us life, spiritual life, and finally eternal life. On another occasion when Peter made a good confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God, Jesus explained how it came that be that Peter made this wonderful confession about Jesus. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You know, when Peter and the rest of the apostles confessed their faith in Jesus at this time, they didn't fully know what was all involved for Jesus to do for our salvation. They knew by faith that Jesus possessed the words of eternal life, but they didn't realize that in order for them to be blessed with life everlasting in heaven, Jesus would have to suffer many things. He would have to go to the cross to suffer death for our sins. As time drew closer for Jesus to finish his redemptive work on the cross, he began to reveal more and more about what he would have to go through, what he would have to suffer for our salvation. And even though the disciples didn't fully understand all of this at the time, yet because they knew he had the word of truth, the words of eternal life, they were not offended by it, they didn't reject it, but they kept on listening. And they kept on considering what Jesus said to them. Until the Holy Spirit opened their eyes through the Word to give us understanding and faith to believe. What a blessing it is for us to know by faith how Jesus worked out our salvation and has given us the sure and certain hope of eternal life. We don't have to say, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. No. I know by faith in Jesus, I know I'm going to heaven. I have this sure and certain hope. That's where I'm going to go. Even though we cannot fully comprehend all the teachings of God's word, we're not offended by them. And we don't stop following Jesus. We realize that growth in the knowledge of God's word, that's an ongoing thing throughout our life. And concerning those teachings that are incomprehensible, that we just cannot fathom in our minds, we just poke out our eyes of reason, and we accept them with a childlike faith. Above all, we rejoice and are comforted in this, that we possess all that we need to know to be saved and go to heaven. Praise God for the gift of saving knowledge and faith and the words and teachings of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for he has the words of eternal life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.